Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll check in with a local Yellow Ribbon company, and we'll learn about the Tribal Veteran Services Officer Program here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During this time of year, our thoughts often turn to patriotic events such as Memorial Day, Flag Day, and the 4th of July. Many of our patriotic events came about as a result of citizen soldiers and airmen who stood up and defended their nation. Our National Guard is truly America's fighting force, standing ever ready and reliable to serve our nation at home or abroad. Our National Guard deploys its hometown military and civilian members every day, everywhere in the world, to protect our homeland, to recover from disasters, and to defend our freedoms. We do this often at a fraction of the cost of an active duty component. Simply put, the National Guard is a great value for America. The United States is at a critical juncture in its history. Although the threats to our nation at home and abroad have not diminished, the fiscal reality is that there are looming decreases in the Department of Defense budget on the horizon. In the resource-constrained future, the new operational National Guard is the most cost-effective element of an overall Department of Defense capability. The National Guard provides a value-added, dollar-for-dollar impact across the spectrum of DoD requirements. However, in order for the Guard to succeed in the future strategic environment, both at home and abroad, it will require us to serve in a continued and strengthened operational capacity. I would like to thank all those family members and employers who have sacrificed, along with our soldiers and airmen, to make the Minnesota National Guard a viable and valuable resource to the people of Minnesota and the citizens of the United States of America.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now, we have two members of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network. And Wells Fargo, of course, is a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. So joining me now is Cheryl Zim and Chris Krug. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheryl, we'll start with you. We were talking earlier, and I understand you are a veteran.
I am. I served 4 years active duty during the first Gulf War.
And in which branch of the service?
I was in the Air Force.
Good to have a fellow Air Force person in
Thank
the studio.
You.
I'm usually surrounded by these soldiers. You know how that goes.
We have to stick together.
And I understand your husband's also in the service.
He is. He's got 28 years, and currently he's an aircraft electrician.
And how long have you been working with Wells Fargo?
7 years.
7 years, and the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Network. When
Correct.
Did that start?
It started actively about 5 years ago. And so we've been continually growing it. We've got about 340 members currently.
And as soon as they started that, did you raise your hand and volunteer?
I did. I stepped up as the membership director originally, and just this past December, I became the chair for the Minnesota chapter and as well as the national membership director for the company.
Good for you. Thanks for volunteering.
Thank you.
We also have Chris Krug. Chris, I understand you're still in the service.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I'm currently in the 934th. Air Force Reserve.
But you started out as a soldier.
Yep. Back in the 90s, I spent 6 years active duty, deployed all over the place.
How did you get from the Army to the Air Force Reserve?
Well, I had had some friends that were in the Air Force, and back in the 90s, I realized if I ever get out and join back, I'm gonna join back there, go in the Air Force Reserve.
All right. Well, I made that choice 40-some years ago, but mine was easy. I thought sleeping in a bed and having hot chow was better than sleeping on the ground. So you might have had a little tougher decision these days. So how long have you been at Wells Fargo?
Just hit my 10-year anniversary.
And how long have you been part of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network?
About 3 years, roughly.
3 years. And in what position do you fill on that volunteer work?
I took communications chair about 2.5 years ago.
Now, can you tell us, Wells Fargo is a big organization with a lot of employees.
Yeah, it's really huge. 275,000 employees, roughly. The Veterans Team Member Network is one of 10 team member networks we have in the company. We've got roughly 32 chapters across the country. We've got Minnesota is probably the third or fourth biggest one. We have roughly 7,600 veteran team member network team members as of December 31st of last year, and we're trying to. We have a big push in our company. We're trying to reach 20,000 hired veterans by the year 2020. So that's a big initiative we're working on.
So Wells Fargo as a company has made the decision that they want to hire veterans in that number of veterans by what year?
2020, so 4.5 years. So we've got some work to do. We've got a lot of initiatives out there, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
Cheryl, what's the mission of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network?
You know, our big mission is to just educate not only internally the team members, but externally to people outside of Wells Fargo to let them know that our veterans are our focus, and including veterans with diverse abilities as well. That's really where our hiring is focused on at this point. And just to continue letting them know that we're supporting various functions and areas outside of Wells Fargo that they know we're more in the community. So it's really about educating.
Okay, we're talking to Chris Krug and Cheryl Zim from the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Cheryl, were you part of the team that helped Wells Fargo become Yellow Ribbon?
I was. We started that push about 3 years ago. It was a lot of detail and just making sure that we were following exactly what needed to be done to become a Yellow Ribbon company. And we were doing a lot of it, and it was just getting the process done. And we were super excited that we were able to become a Yellow Ribbon company.
Well, this was really an indication from upper management that we're serious about supporting the troops and the families and doing the things as a corporation that's necessary to take care of our veterans and our veteran employees.
Absolutely. It was their number one initiative and their point of making sure it got done.
So you spent a little time with Annette Kuiper, I'll bet.
I did a little bit, yep.
And she can be pretty convincing, but help you along the way, right?
She helped the group that was putting the package together immensely. It was wonderful.
Now, when you had the proclamation ceremony, were there a lot of folks there?
There were. John Stumpf was in town. He's the CEO of the company, and so he was in town, and it was a lot of people, big announcement that was done. It was really exciting.
And Chris, sounds like you've got the full backing and support of the corporate headquarters there, both being a Yellow Ribbon company and for your veteran team member network. So what type of things is Wells Fargo doing, and what are you helping him do as part of the network?
We just participated in the Minnesota Deed Veterans Career Fair out at the Earl Brown Center.
The job fair.
Yep, big job fair. We were one of probably 200 employers out there. We've got, with Beyond Yellow Ribbon, there's other networking events going on randomly throughout the Twin Cities. I've actually met and became friends with you know, buddies from Target, Cargill, General Mills, to name a few. It's a pretty cool thing because we're able to help each other recruit, you know, veterans coming out of active duty and or just veterans that are looking for work. A lot of times, you know, these guys are getting interviews, but they're not really getting beyond. They're not getting their foot in the door. So we're helping each other, you know, overall trying to get more veterans hired.
So a lot of the Yellow Ribbon companies from Minnesota were there at that job fair. Was there a good turnout? Were there a lot of veterans show up?
Yeah, there was. I would say it was down a little bit from last year, but that might be due to the fact that there are more and more job fairs around, and more programs that are geared towards getting veterans back to work again.
And unemployment's down a little bit, but there's still companies looking for good people, and so they were out there recruiting.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to have to take a break here in a moment, but when we come back, I want to talk about the Warrior to Summit. We had Eric Halverson on last year and talked about that climb, and had several of the climbers on here, and we were following it, and it was a great experience, so I want to talk about that a little bit, and I'm anxious to see what they're going to climb this year. So, Cheryl, when we come back, I want you to tell me all about that. We're talking to Chris Klug and Cheryl Zim, part of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Ready? We're talking to Chris Klug. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking to Chris Klug and Cheryl Zim, who are both members of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network. And, of course, Wells Fargo is a Yellow Ribbon company. And Cheryl, we were talking about the mission and the fact that at Wells Fargo, from top to bottom, you've got the commitment from your managers and your leaders and headquarters to support the veterans and support the families of veterans here in Minnesota, the Yellow Ribbon Network, and you're doing a lot of things. And one of them is hiring veterans, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're excited to make sure that we get the veterans into the company. And not only that we hire them, but we retain them and give them the, you know, expanded skills on what they've already learned in their military career.
Okay. And one of the things we want to talk about today, last year we had Eric Halverson on and we were talking about Soldiers the Summit. I understand the name of that has changed, and they had a successful climb last year. Tell us what you're calling it this year.
Craig, this year is called Warriors to Summit. And again, we have 13 climbers who applied. We actually had 144 veterans with various disabilities apply for the climb this year. And out of those 140 applications, 13 were chosen. The rest of the applicants will get merged into other events that No Barriers USA, which is the company that is the parent company of Warriors to Summit. So they will still get to do events. But so we're, again, sponsoring this year the Warriors to Summit climb, and they are going to be climbing Gannett Peak, which is in Wyoming. They have had different expeditions throughout the time for training. They had one in Colorado in June, Utah in July, and then another one in Colorado in August. The climb is going to start on September 4th with the final summit on September 11th. So these soldiers are, they have come out with various disabilities, as I said before. The climb is more about the journey home and reconnecting with other service members and then paying it forward to other veterans. It enhances their inner strength, determination. It helps them overcome any kind of barriers that they face, whether they be physical or in what we call invisible barriers, such as PTSD, or which is post-traumatic stress disorder, or traumatic brain injuries. There's a lot of information out on warriorstosummit.org, but because it was such a success last year with Wells Fargo, they wanted to do this again and just show the support not only to the veterans that are doing the climb, but also to the families that live with these veterans that have these different diverse abilities.
So the theory is that these veterans that apply to have some type of disability, whether it be mental, physical, lost a limb. We had quite a crew in here last year, and the No Barriers part is, if you can go train, get ready, and climb a mountain, then what stands in your way from returning to some kind of normalcy in your life and getting back to work and family and getting back to having a fulfilling a life for ahead of you?
Correct. It's been a great experience for the soldiers and the climbers, and also for the people that are climbing with them. I mean, they see the struggles that they have, and so it's really been beneficial all around for the veterans and for the people that are involved with seeing this through.
So, Chris, are you going to go climb the mountain with these guys and girls, I imagine?
Maybe a climbing wall.
You're going to go up the foothill, huh?
Yeah.
Good answer. I'd give that to no mountains for me. Are you both heavily involved in it with the Veteran Team Member Network then?
Yeah, we're involved with it kind of from an external side of promoting it and just making sure that we support them in any way that we can.
And is there an easy way for our listeners to follow along with the climb this year?
Yeah, they can follow along with the climb if they go to NoBarriersUSA.org and Warriors to Summit. They can follow the climbers. They'll be tweeting about it, which is, I believe the tweet is now Warriors to Summit. And once they start the climb, it's going to be live the whole way through.
Well, after you have the climb this year, and you said it's Gannett Peak?
Gannett Peak, correct.
In Colorado?
Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming, excuse me.
Yep. Well,
you know, is that a high one?
It is. It is a 14-footer is what they call them. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I think it's 14,000 feet.
Probably is. Well, we'll have to follow up with this, and after the climb, get a report on how our climbers went.
Absolutely.
The 13 people that made the cut, are any of them from Minnesota?
They are from North Carolina, Texas, Virginia, California, North Carolina, New Mexico, Idaho, Colorado, and Georgia. So none from Minnesota this year, but they're a mix, again, between all services, and there are men and women climbing it.
Okay, next year we want to make sure Master Sergeant Krug gets in there and makes a cut.
Yes,
get a report back from him from the top of the mountain. How about that, Chris?
Yeah, I'll try.
You can get that done. We're speaking with Chris Krug and Cheryl Zim, part of the Wells Fargo Veteran Team Member Network and also a Yellow Ribbon Company, Wells Fargo, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Cheryl, we want to get some other things. Wells Fargo as an organization has made some commitments within the organization to support military-connected employees and to hire veteran job seekers. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Yeah, we have a – Wells Fargo has made a commitment to hire 20,000 veterans by 2020. That includes current employees that are veterans as well. We are in the process of getting some self-identification to make sure that we have know who our veterans are. Really what that means
veteran
is...
Veteran tattoos?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, kind of an unseen thing. You know, so that really means that we need to hire 2,100 annually. So we have a lot of sources online, different venues, links that people can go to for Wells Fargo, where it will actually translate their military job into what a civilian position would be similar. So our goal is really to get the veterans hired, get them in and retain them.
Chris, as you mentioned the job fair earlier, are there a lot of veterans out there to choose from? We've heard in Minnesota that the veteran unemployment rate's fairly low, but across the country it's higher in other places.
Right. I would say the best way that we hear about veterans looking is just through word of mouth. You know, networking is always the best. You know, just by that last job fair, discovered some other people that were just left the military, just separated. So we're meeting with them in the next few weeks to talk about some job offers, show them some job recs, see if we can help them out.
So if there's veterans out there listening to the show today and they're looking for some employment, stop down and visit your local Wells Fargo and tell them you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're on Facebook, Twitter, check out our site. You can definitely find something out there and reach out you know, to us and can help you out.
Cheryl, have you seen evidence of any benefits to Wells Fargo after they've became a Yellow Ribbon company in the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, our employment numbers as far as for hiring veterans has gone up quite a bit. I don't have exact numbers, but when we became the Yellow Ribbon Company, veterans kind of knew and their families knew that we were about supporting not only the veteran, but the family as well. So that's a good thing to look at any of the companies who are Yellow Ribbon. They know that they have a safe place to land, especially if they're still serving and they have any kind of deployments.
And Chris, are there any special activities coming up to celebrate the two-year anniversary?
Yeah, we've got a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon anniversary coming up. We're going to be bringing in some people from other companies and just to celebrate all our currently serving members as well as past, to honor the past and past members as well.
Now, you've got a regular position at Wells Fargo, but being part of the Veteran Team Member Network, that's kind of extra duties, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It falls under the diversity role of our jobs. So it is a volunteer thing, but our bosses, you know, they do give us time to get this coordinated and you know, help out in the communities.
So pretty good support to pull that all together and take care of your job and do your volunteer stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And with the event coming up next month, the No Barriers Challenge, August 8th, right here in Minneapolis, we're excited about Fort Snelling, the base camp there. We're doing our first triathlon type event, so there's going to be a combination of activities, climbing, and it's basically open to you know, veterans, students, people with diverse abilities. That's going to be August 8th. So if you want to learn more about that, that's on nobarriersusa.org/MN2015.
That's coming up early August, and everybody's welcome to come out. Cheryl, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, you know, if you're a veteran out there looking for employment, absolutely go to wellsfargo.com. We're always looking for and wanting to hire veterans.
All right, Chris, anything further?
Air power.
United States Air Force Reserve, there he is, Master Sergeant Krug, telling us what to think for the rest of the show. Air power. We'll take care of the soldiers and the Marines, won't we?
Right.
Absolutely.
Chris, Cheryl, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Chris Krug and Cheryl Zim from Wells Fargo's Veteran Team Member Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We're going to learn about the Tribal Veteran Service Officer Program here in Minnesota next.
listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about the Tribal Veteran Service Officer Program here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
July is Hire a Veterans Month in Minnesota. Governor Dayton has proclaimed this month to create awareness of the talent and character employers will find when they hire veterans. Who are the movers and shakers in your community? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you will find that many of them are veterans. They are the leaders who took initiative when something needs to be done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standard. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for their next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran. For additional information on how to hire a veteran, go MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Wendy Cederstrom, a Tribal Veteran Service Officer for the state of Minnesota. Wendy, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Wendy, we try to talk to county veteran service officers as often as we can, and the last time you were on, you were explaining to us the difference between a county veteran service officer and a tribal veteran service officer. Could we go over that again?
Oh, sure. That's easy to do. Basically, tribal veteran service officers function exactly like a county veteran service officer, except we have specific outreach into a certain tribal area, or for someone like me who's in the metro area, just into events and communities that are community things that are going on for Native Americans in the cities. But we can file federal claims, state claims, help people with education benefits, whatever veterans are looking for. We do have right now 5 tribal veteran service officers around the state. We have Tom Spry on the White Earth Reservation. He's actually in the government center at the White Earth Reservation. We have Luke Johnson, who's stationed out of the St. Cloud VA Hospital, and he services pretty much the southwestern area of the of Minnesota, including the Upper and Lower Sioux reservations there. We have Clarence Everson up in Grand Portage. Ernie Steele in Duluth, who services pretty much all of middle Minnesota all the way down to the Mille Lacs area, and then myself in the metro area, and I will go all the way as far southeast as needed within the state.
So you're kind of a free agent around the Twin Cities.
We are, and that's really basically what separates us from county veteran service officers, because they pretty much function within their county. They do some things outside their county, but most of the things that they work with and the veterans that they work with are right within their county, where we can serve any veteran throughout the state of Minnesota. Specifically, we're looking for Native American veterans, but we're not limited to that. We service all veterans.
Now, Wendy, you're a veteran yourself.
Yes, I am. I served in the U.S. Army in 1974, 75, and 76 at the end of the Vietnam War. I was stationed in Frankfurt, Germany. I was attached to Headquarters Company, part of the 3rd Armored Division.
And how long have you been a Tribal Veteran Service Officer?
Since March of 2008, so it's been a while.
How did you get into that?
I lost a job that I'd had for many, many years due to downsizing. I was in the newspaper industry, and that is a industry that's pretty much downsizing everywhere. And so I had to go looking for a job. And I was older when I was looking for my job, and I thought, I better look for something that if they downsize again, perhaps I can stay with the company. So I thought, as a veteran, I'd look for a government job. And I just kept looking and applying, and I got interviewed, and I got hired.
So had you been interested throughout your adult life in veterans and helping veterans?
Not really. I was a veteran, and I had veteran friends and that kind of thing, but I had never belonged to any American Legions or any posts or been involved in helping veterans at all. But I had been doing a lot of volunteer work throughout my life for Native Americans, so I think that was probably part of the reason why they felt like hiring me for this position.
Now, you've been at it for a while. How do you like it?
I love it. I love my job. When they say, you know, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, that's pretty much how I feel. Every day I'm enthused to get to work because Every day I get presented with an opportunity to assist a veteran or a family member of a veteran in finding a benefit, getting an answer to a question, everything from helping someone get into the VA hospital to getting 100% service connection because they talked to me. So it's a very rewarding position.
Now, Wendy, I seem to recall last time you were on, we were talking about the fact that the Native Americans have joined the military in greater numbers than most of the rest of the population.
That's true. The legislature conducted a study several years ago, and they found that at any given time, about 3% of the population is serving in the military just in general. And of that 3%, 33% of the population that was serving in the military were found to be Native Americans. And when you look at that from a per capita viewpoint, that's a tremendously huge number. So they also discovered in their study that Native Americans were filing for benefits the least of all people in the military. So there was a huge disparity there, and that's why our positions were created, to try and find ways to remove the barriers why Native American veterans were not coming in and filing for their benefits.
Now, did we discover why they joined the military in larger numbers? Was it because of less opportunities on the reservations?
That's part of it. Yeah, the reservations don't offer a lot of opportunities for people. It was that, as well as culturally, it's always been a great honor to serve as a warrior for your culture, to do that for a couple years. It's a big honor. So it's part of their, just ingrained in them culturally, to want to serve to protect the people that they love.
We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Wendy, you mentioned that the Native Americans veterans had filed claims in lower numbers than the rest of the veterans. What was the reason for that?
Well, I don't know if we know all of the reasons for it, but one big reason is if you take a look at the statistics as far as who's utilizing the VA hospital. Well, Native Americans that are part of a tribe and on a reservation can also use the Indian Health Service. So there's usually a nice clinic right on their reservation, which is just maybe a couple miles from their house, as opposed to if you live in Grand Portage, it's 300 and some miles down to the VA hospital. So if you're a veteran, would you want to go 2 miles to the clinic, or would you want to drive 300 and some miles just to get a doctor's appointment? Obviously, you're going to not utilize the hospital. So that's, you know, there are barriers like that. There's distance barriers. Native Americans like to file claims with other Native Americans. They feel sometimes that perhaps the government isn't real friendly to them. And this, you know, is just a perspective that they have. So they're much more comfortable talking to a tribal veteran service officer, someone sensitive to Native American issues.
Now, Wendy, I know you work a lot with homeless veterans as well. Are there large numbers of Native Americans that are among the homeless veterans?
Oh, yes. Yes, there always are. Yes. I don't know what that number is, but a lot of the veterans that I deal with are homeless Native American veterans.
Now, some of that, perhaps they're in the Twin Cities and they're away from the rest of their family and friends.
Right. Yeah. And they're just, and again, they're not, they haven't found a job. They don't have a network of support. That's a lot of it too. And that's where we come in. We can offer them some support as they go along. They'll come down here seeking an opportunity for lack of opportunity on the reservation. And when they get here, yes, they do not have a support system. So they end up quite often homeless, haven't found that job they wanted, and things can tend to go from bad to worse.
Now, how do you find the homeless veterans, and particularly the homeless Native American veterans?
Attending events, especially specific in the Native American community. Their community center on Franklin Avenue has a diabetes breakfast. We have job fairs. We have we just had an event last month where we honored Native American veterans. Just being in attendance, being in the community, seeking out Native American veterans, word of mouth, that kind of thing.
Wendy, we have to take a short break. I know you've got a couple of new programs that you want to talk to. We'll have to save those for when we come right back. We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Wendy, we were talking before the break about how you locate the people that you help, the homeless veterans, the homeless Native American veterans. You said it's at various places that they go for help. And I would guess that what you do is provide a lot of educational material on what resources are available to get them back on their feet.
Oh, yes, we do. We have lots of educational material and lots of business cards. I leave business cards everywhere I go so people can pick them up and give me a call.
So I know you wanted to talk about a couple of new programs, and one of them, the acronym is CRRC. I have no idea what that means, so you're going to have to spell that out for me.
Well, CRRC stands for the Community Resource and Referral Center that is located at 1201 Harmon Place in Minneapolis. If you remember a few years ago when Mr. Shinseki was the Director of Veterans Affairs, they declared that they wanted to end homelessness for veterans, the government does, by the year 2015. And so to do that, they put a few programs in place, and one of them was creating the Community Resource and Referral Center. This is a center through the mental health unit at the VA hospital, and there are social workers, psychiatrists, doctors, and nurses, all of this available, a lot of housing resources right at the referral center. If a veteran walks in off the street that's homeless, they sign in, they can take a shower there, they can do their laundry there, they can spend the day in the community resource room looking for jobs, just basically gives them a place to be off the street, but also to deal with a social worker whose main job is to find them permanent, affordable housing. And you can look at various studies that have been done for the last 3 years, but I'm going to refer you to the Wilder study on homelessness. They determined that from last year to this year, veteran homelessness is down 33%. And I think that a lot of that is due to the CRRC programs that they have there. It's very good. One of the programs that's an offshoot of the Community Resource and Referral Center is called the HUD-VASH program, where Section 8 housing vouchers are issued to veterans that are homeless. They're specific for veterans, and a veteran can get one of these vouchers, and then they only ever have to pay 33% of their income towards their rent. And the government supplements the rest of their rent, and this is a huge barrier for homeless veterans. Their incomes are usually so limited, if they get an apartment, they're only able to keep it for 3 or 4 months, because if they have any kind of a monetary issue that comes up at all, they spend their money and they're not able to, you know, pay their rent. So this alleviates that obstacle for them. So
when you first see these homeless veterans, likely they're going to be homeless and unemployed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you bring them in and help them get cleaned up and so forth and find them some housing. Is there also a program to help them find some employment?
Oh, yes. They're through the state of Minnesota, as well as MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. They have a jobs program. We have specific veteran counselors at the workforce centers that will work with veterans. We also sometimes refer them to our education programs with Dwayne Bauer and David Belfry. So there are a lot of, it just depends on the need of the individual.
So if they really want to get back into the swing of things in life and get an mm-hmm. apartment and a job and all those things, the opportunities are there.
Right. The network is there that can help them. When we were talking about tribal veteran service officers, I said tribal veterans that come to the cities, they don't have a network to assist them. This is a way of getting a network so that we can assist them to becoming successful. And it's not just to get them off the streets. We're looking to make them have permanent affordable housing so that it is not an issue for them again.
We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Wendy, I know you've got another program you want to talk about, and another acronym, MOVE. What does that stand for?
That stands for the Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment. And this is just run through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Director Schwartz is in charge of it. And what we do actually is we pay, down at the Union Gospel Mission, we pay for 4 beds there every single day. And a veteran will come to me and I will take an application. And if they're eligible for the program, if they have the right discharge and the right set of circumstances, we put them in one of our beds. And then they work with me where I will see what benefits do you need? Do you need service-connected disability benefits? Do you need to get to the hospital and get some kind of medical assistance. What do you need? And we get them going on all the programs. They have 30-day stay there where I initiate a lot of networking again to get them whatever is the obstacle for them not to have housing. And if they're working on this stuff, we can get them another 30-day extension if need be. I'm down at the Union Gospel Mission every Monday between 3:30 and 4:30. So if any homeless vets want to stop down there and see me, we can see about getting them into the Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment Program.
Now, Wendy, I've got to ask you this. There's sometimes good reasons or bad reasons that they're homeless and on the street and unemployed. Right. Some of them, I'm sure, want to get on their feet and get back to a normal life again. What about the ones that really don't care?
Well, I've got to say, I run across veterans like that every now and then. But they, even those veterans, do care about having permanent secure housing. They usually do, even if they don't care about anything else. And in that case, when you get assistance from the Community Resource and Referral Center, the one caveat that goes with that is you get a social worker who every 30 days comes and visits you to see and case manages you to see if there's anything that you are doing or not doing that might cause you to become homeless again. And they work with you to prevent those things. Not all veterans want to do that. And in that case, then, you know, there's not a lot we can do for them. They have to want to not be homeless, and they have to want our help.
Well, I'm sure here in Minnesota it's dangerous being homeless. It's dangerous out there, and it's cold.
Yes.
And if they want to survive, they need to get to it.
Right. So they do have some good reasons not to want to be homeless in Minnesota, yes.
Wendy, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
If anybody has any questions, please call the 1-888-LINK-VET line. They can hook you up with any resources you need. And if you think you want to file for any benefits, or even if you don't know if you have any benefits that are available to you, contact your county veteran service officer or your tribal veteran service officer.
And once again, that's 1-888-LINK-VET. Wendy, it's always a delight to talk to you. I hope you'll come back and visit with us soon.
Oh, good. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Wendy Cederstrom, the Tribal Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, you've been on the show on and off for a couple, 3 years now, and we've talked about the Minnesota Patriot Guard and all of the fabulous Minnesota Patriot Guard riders. But let's go back to the basics. Who are you? What do you do? And who's eligible to join?
Anybody's eligible to join. We are just a group of ordinary people that want to provide honor, dignity, and respect for our fallen heroes.
And, of course, a lot of our listeners still think that these are a bunch of old Vietnam vets riding around on motorcycles with flags, and they go out to provide the honor, dignity, and respect at funerals and welcome homes and departures and those kind of things. But it's really the riders can be anyone with a good heart and a flag and a pole, and they would just have to go to your website to sign up.
Yes, they do. And actually, there's a calendar there. They can see what's going on. One of the main important points is we only go to a funeral when we're as an invited guest.
And you go there with ride captains who organize everybody and shows them the rules. And
we do.
We do it in a very orderly, very dignified manner.
Yes.
Now, Tim, another thing you've taught me over the years is that the truck I drive is called a cage.
It is.
This is summertime in Minnesota. There's a lot of cages running all over the place on the highways all over the state, and some of those people driving those cages don't drive so good.
Well, a lot of them don't pay attention either. They're too busy cell phoning and texting and doing all the fun stuff.
And you've got your two-wheeler out. You've got your motorcycle out.
That I do.
How can people start seeing motorcycles and make it safer for our Patriot Guard riders?
Pay attention and drive your car. Drive the cage.
And be polite, leave some space.
A little bit.
Don't tailgate, and especially leave some space if you see a motorcycle in front of you or behind you, and watch for them and be courteous.
Yes. There's a lot of times when a motorcycle has to dodge something, you know, so we use our lanes. Those potholes are still out there.
All right. So, folks, when you're out there driving around, one of those motorcycle riders might be a Patriot Guard rider, and let's make sure that we don't have to have a special funeral for them. Watch for those bikes. Start seeing those motorcycles. Tim, you go to missions. Has it been a busy year?
It has. Yeah, it really has. We still do 400 or 500 missions a year. You know, you calculate that out, there's one every day.
and it's all volunteers. When you're invited by a family to come to a funeral, whether it's that or departure ceremony or welcome home ceremony, yep. you just put the word out that here's an event and we need volunteers, and your riders just get their flag and show up on their motorcycle or their cage and provide that honor, dignity, and respect.
They do.
Well, Tim, you guys are doing a great job for us, and I want you to be careful out there in that two-wheeler now. You're not getting me on that. I'm going to stay in my cage. But it's important that you take care of yourself and the rest of the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders, and I want to thank you for joining us today again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chris Krug, Cheryl Zim from Wells Fargo, Wendy Cederstrom, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update on the Minnesota Honor Flights and check in with the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.